Thank God it's Monday. Thank you so much for tuning in. You are listening to How Do You See It? With me, your one and only host, Miriam Alemu. Today we're going to continue our discussion about social and emotional intelligence with Chris Gross. Last week, as you remember, we have started our discussion about this topic, and we didn't finish it because of we didn't have much time. But today we're going to continue literally from where we stopped last time. So we're just going to continue off from there. You can call in directly here. We can chat live here. You can tweet at me at @howdoyou_see_it, or you can go to Facebook/WorldPerspective, and in any means you want, we can chat and we can discuss about this topic as well. Hope you had learned a lot from last week, and today we're going to continue to learn a lot from Chris Gross. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank God it's Monday, and love you all. Please enjoy the rest part of the show. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, my beautiful listeners, for joining in. Again, you're listening to How Do You See It? Today we're talking about social intelligence, emotional intelligence. We're having fun here. I hope you're enjoying and learning a lot from this conversation. Thank you so much, Chris. And okay, so let's move on to the techniques. What are some of the techniques used to develop one's own social intelligence?
Some of the things that you can do to increase your intelligence, your emotional and social intelligence, you know, there's two different things. There's some things that you can do that helps in both areas. When you work on your emotional intelligence, it automatically translates to increased social intelligence. So one of the things, I've been doing training in emotional intelligence for 13 years. Wow. And what's interesting, I call them hacks, emotional and social intelligence hacks. So these are ways to quickly increase emotional intelligence, quickly change how you feel about something, quickly change your response to something. And what I found, we do surveys, and when we get surveys back, the most consistent thing that people like in the workshop, especially the shorter workshops for about an hour, 2 hours, mm-hmm. we teach them a technique which is really simple that anyone can do at any time, which is just really a deep breathing exercise. They teach it in yoga. It's really... breathing, for most of us, we're in that fight or flight most of the time, especially executives, management, so much work to do, not enough time in the day. So we're a lot of times we're in a fight or flight. Our body is producing a lot of hormones that are just making us, unfortunately it's making us sick, but also with the adrenaline, it's just getting us going and going and going and going. So taking less than a minute, 30 seconds to do anywhere from 5 to 10 deep breaths before you respond to something. If you get a disturbing email across your computer, if you get a disturbing phone call from your child's school, if you get a disturbing text from your spouse or from your teenage, child, yeah. Whatever it is, when your emotions just go up immediately, you want to take a step back and just breathe. Breathe from your diaphragm. A deep breath, and what we do is we close our eyes, we shrug our shoulders, make sure we're nice and relaxed. Most of us hold our stress in our neck and our back, and just get relaxed, uncross your legs, uncross your arms, and just relax and take a couple of deep breaths. And in that moment, a change can occur. Most of the time, 90% of the people we take through the process, the change occurs, and you don't really need a lot of prep work to do it. So that's one of the easiest and quickest techniques that you can use is just really taking a deep breath. If you know you're going into a conversation that could be heated, a hostile situation, take a deep breath. And after that deep breath, really ask yourself, what is the value here? Mm-hmm. What am I trying to get accomplished? What's going to be healthy? So those two things together, in concert together, can create a healthier situation. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Nice.
So breathing is one of the things. Journaling. Again, most of us, when we're in until our emotional intelligence increased to the degree where we can actually have a healthier relationship, a lot of times we are suppressing our values. I did a workshop at a pharmaceutical company about 2 weeks ago in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing I talked to the staff about was a management training, actually. First thing I asked them, what's going on? What's happening in your company? Mm-hmm. And what I found was that because the parent company liaison was there, management didn't say anything. They were suppressing their real values. They were suppressing the fact that they had high turnover, they didn't have enough resources, they're working too long hours, lack of communication, all of these problems, right? So part of it is really journaling, getting out how you feel, right? We talk to kids about doing it, but as adults we have to do it as well. So really just identifying, journaling should not only just be about how you feel, but where you want to go. What are your values? What is holding you back? So really just having a conversation, if you don't have anyone to talk to, but even before you get that conversation out to talk to someone else, you don't really need to know for yourself. You really know what's valuable to you. You really know what you're trying to accomplish and what do you want to say and why do you feel the way that you feel. And that will help communication and that will help develop healthier relationships as well.
Wow.
There's a technique called laugh therapy. Are you familiar with it? Have you heard of it?
Is it the one you stare at the mirror and laugh?
So that's a part of it. That's a part of it. I actually originated in India. And it basically is just laughing, but laughing without a purpose. So you're not really sitting down watching, comedy shows or something that's actually funny. Mm-hmm. You're just actually going through the motions of laughing, and you go through the different types of laughs, which actually increases the oxygen in your brain, as well as in your blood system. So laugh therapy, you don't need anything. You can just start laughing. You can just get into the mode of there's different levels of laughing. So definitely go to the internet, Google it, laugh therapy, the different types of laughs. Go to YouTube, and you can actually see groups of people just laughing, different types of laughs. Because when you laugh, you increase the oxygen in your body, which allows you to be more relaxed, allows you to be more focused, as well as confident as well. So laugh therapy, educate yourself. Another thing you can do is educate yourself on emotional and social intelligence. There's a lot of information out there. Daniel Goleman wrote the first book on, well, not the first book, but he wrote the groundbreaking book on emotional intelligence, and he came back and wrote a book on social intelligence. So there's a lot of information out there on the internet. You can look at techniques on YouTube, and there's a lot of classes out there to take too as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is just, if this is not natural for you, make this a part of your personal development plan, is to really just be interested in people. One of the things I found was that I was doing a diversity training with Loyola University in Baltimore, Maryland, and one of the things I found was that they brought me in to talk about diversity, but they didn't have a diversity problem. They had a emotional intelligence problem. They had a social intelligence problem. They had two different departments that were not communicating. And because those two different departments were not communicating, there was a decrease in productivity. And so one of the techniques that we talked about was really, do you know your coworkers? Are you interested in them? Do you know what they do? Do you know what they do outside of work? Do you know what stresses them out? What are their values? What are their goals? So really, it really came into play of really just talking to one another, really just having that conversation. So being interested in people will help as well. And this next one is very interesting. How you dress. How you dress can affect your emotional intelligence as well as your social intelligence. So, Marion, you know how when you put on a really nice outfit, you just feel good about yourself?
Yes. I always tell that to my friends.
So when you put on a really nice outfit, you feel well, as well as if the colors that matter as well. So part of my coaching is to also look at the wardrobe, look at the colors that people wear. Are they bright? Are they exciting? Do they represent you? So that's really important. And then people always say dress for success. I say dress for the response. What is the response that you want to have when you put on what you wear, as well as how other people feel about you and that relationship?
That's true. And when my friends are like, no,
we don't really feel, some of my friends say we don't really feel anything different, and I would go like, okay, you might not feel good at the moment, but when you go out and go to work or whatever you're going to spend your day, people start to comment on the way you dress, right? And that is actually going to change your emotion without, you know, you're not in control of that, but it's going to change your emotion unconsciously.
75% of what we do is habitual. And because of that, a lot of what we do, we're not aware of how it's affecting us. The brain is processing 400 million bits of information per second. We're only conscious of 2,000 bits of that information. So we don't really know what's affecting us. We don't really know what's happening with our subconscious. But when you study the brain, when you study the social behaviors of people, marketing does it. That's why you spend billions of dollars every year on marketing, is because they understand that we are creatures of habit, and we also operate on a subconscious level. So you're 100% right. So if you put something on that looks nice when you walk into a office building, when you walk in to see your family, when you unconsciously are feeling better, that energy is transferring to that relationship, to that other person. You're more susceptible to healthier conversations. You're more open to people, and people are more open to you as well. So yes, yeah, that is definitely true. So the last thing I would say, and this is the best hack ever. This is the best hack. So this is a technique that I teach in management. I teach in I do a workshop called Dealing with Difficult People and Coaching for Peak Performance. It's called the interview. The interview. And this is powerful because it helps in so many different ways. It helps in emotional intelligence. It helps in social intelligence as well. So the interview, I'm going to use this as an example because, again, I do a lot of personal development workshops and personal development, personal and professional development workshops in companies and organizations. And when we get to this part, it really brings it all together. It's called the interview. And what the interview is basically having a healthy conversation with a person about something that is either hostile or it's an emotional conversation, or something that's not really it's hard to have this conversation, right?
Oh, so it may be some problems. That one is challenging.
What'd you say?
That's going to be very challenging.
It is challenging.
Yes.
That's why I developed this technique, which some people have already used it, but they don't call it that. But so what it is. So when I have a staff that I'm working with, or I have a manager that I'm working with, whoever the person is that you're trying to deal with a situation, you're going to, first you've got to identify this person, right? Yeah. Two is you want to have a conversation with them. This is the interview. You want to have a conversation with them, but you want to actually pull them out of the situation. So a lot of times when we're having bad relationships with people, it's not just the person. We're actually having a bad relationship with the environment as well. We're not even having a relationship with that person in that moment. We're having a relationship with the past, if that makes sense.
Yes.
It's not, yeah, so because most of what we're doing is pulling information back up from our subconscious of a conversation that we had before. We're always bringing that in. So if you look at someone, I've had many staff come into workshops and say, I don't like this person. I care not to deal with this person or work with this person. I say, why? Some people don't know, or because they've had one bad interaction with that person. So part of it is pulling them out of the environment, taking them into an environment that is that's calm, that's relaxing, that's supportive of a healthy conversation. So you don't want to have a conversation with your boss when you're in the middle of a project. You're in the busiest time of the day. They're at their desk doing work, right?
Yeah.
So pull them out of that environment. Whether you have to send them an invite for a walk and talk, that may mean going outside of the office, because environment matters a lot about communication. So again, when I'm working with staff and they want to have a better conversational communication with their supervisor, a lot of times management is in front of the computer. That computer and that desk is in between them and the other person, which decreases social intelligence as well as emotional intelligence, because that thought process is that here's the same relationship that we've been having. We're going to have that same conversation. So you want to pull them out. So that may mean meeting in the break room. That may mean walking down to Starbucks, having a conversation before work or outside of work. So once that conversation or once that situation is outside of the old environment, the first thing you want to do in the interview is you want to understand what that person's values are. Mm-hmm. What drives them? What motivates them? What moves them? That starts the conversation, because all conflict starts with the conflict in values. And if you understand what that person's values are, then you can approach the situation differently and then talk about what your values are, then move forward to trying to figure out how do we now negotiate this relationship, how do we now value both of our opinions and move forward. You don't have the hustle and bustle of the day going on, right? I've worked with couples that would normally have a conversation immediately after work where the kids are screaming and crying in the other room. They want to watch television. They're hungry or whatever's going on. So really just having a conversation about what matters outside of the stress of the day. That's pretty much what the interview is about, talking about the values and allowing the other person to actually express their values and not interrupt them, and then figure out a way to negotiate, which is to say, how do we get both of our values or needs met? Come up with some type of plan, agree on the plan, commit to the plan, and then follow up. That's what the interview is. And that really increases emotional intelligence, social intelligence, because I get an opportunity to talk about what's valuable to me. The other person gets an opportunity to talk about what's valuable to them outside of the stress of what normally stresses that relationship. And then talking about how we're going to negotiate to move forward, and then committing to it and committing to meet again to talk about it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Right. So that's the biggest technique, because it really deals with all those components. And it doesn't matter if it's a personal relationship, professional relationship, doesn't matter if you're talking to your kids or if the kids are talking to their parents. It works in any, pretty much any situation.
Yeah, that is very powerful and interesting, actually. Thank you for that. So new evidence of studies nowadays are showing that when people hone their emotional skills, they become better at manipulating others. So how do you see it?
Okay, so that's a very interesting question, because we use the word manipulation or manipulating. And so I would prefer, maybe not manipulating, I prefer negotiating, because it just sounds so much better.
Yeah, but
however,
it's the same thing. Okay.
Yeah, however, I totally 100% agree. When you increase your emotional intelligence, when you increase your social intelligence, when you increase your ability to be aware of what's going on with other people, you're a better negotiator, because now you can negotiate for yourself, and you can also, and here's the kicker, you can also negotiate for someone else. Everyone loves a person and wants to be around a person and communicate with a person and follow a person that is going to go to bat for their values, right?
Yes.
So that's a bigger part of it. There's a lot of research that shows the increase of emotional intelligence affects the bottom line of a company. So there's a study done, Pepsi-Cola brought in a emotional intelligence trainer, mm-hmm. and they increased their bottom line by 10%.
Wow.
So for them, that small percentage – equaled an 87% decrease in executive turnover. So there's thousands of dollars that goes into onboarding executives. Ultimately, over the course of that study, Pepsi saved $4 million.
Wow.
$4 million.
Wow.
So there's a lot of companies use it. The Air Force has used it for turnover with recruits. And they've saved $3 million annually just by using and developing these skills in emotional intelligence. So when you increase your emotional intelligence, it's just like increasing your revenue, right? Mm-hmm. It may take a couple of months because it has to implement and trickle down. But if you think about it, if your manager has better emotional intelligence, social intelligence, then the staff, the morale is going to be better. When the morale is better, people work harder. And when people work harder, they're more effective. And when they're more effective, it increases the bottom line. So it's just a trickle-down effect.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. But in a personal relationship, this the word that you don't want to use can happen, right? Because we
For
are
sure.
humans, and sometimes we prefer our interests to be met than others.
Which you said in your personal relationship, which word?
The manipulating word.
So, oh, manipulation.
Yeah.
Yes. And so I absolutely, it's not a lot of, a big part of the work that I do, but I do probably about 10% of personal relationship development,
mm-hmm.
coaching, individual coaching, as well as groups and workshops. Now, here's what I like to do. When we're all in the room, I always like to tell people that if someone says manipulation, then I say yes. It's manipulation because it really is whatever you call it. In reality, is we're all jockeying for our own goals, our own desires, what we want out of a relationship, what
yeah.
we want out of a situation, and to deny that would be absolutely ludicrous because we're in a relationship. Whether it be I want security, I want love, I want affection, I want life, I want money, whatever it is. We're all in a relationship because it's providing something for us.
Mm-hmm.
And once it stops being provided, then there's an issue. So really, when we talk about personal relationships, it's really important to really sit down and talk about what are the values? What is the ROI? What is the return on this relationship, the energies I put in this relationship, and how will we move forward? That's a really healthy conversation. It's very business-like. However, once in the end, we're going to have the same problems as we have in a business as we will have in a personal relationship if we don't follow the very, very similar steps, if that makes sense.
Yes, correct. I like that we answered that. So is there any specific story you want to share with us of how your work affected an organization? Is there any specific story?
Yes, I have a story.
Okay.
I have a story. So I've been working for nonprofit organizations for many years. I do, again, training for them, staff development, leadership development, board development, and retreats. So I was working with one particular nonprofit organization in Maryland, and this was a very interesting situation because we had an executive director that had a manager on staff that wasn't doing what he or she needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
They brought me in as a consultant to really talk about, what was going on. Come to find out, the manager was the son of the CEO. I'm sorry, the CEO, but the executive director, right?
Okay.
So we did a coaching session, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in that coaching session, which was really a coaching / mediation session, we talked about the values. We talked about what was going on. And I came to the conclusion that what was happening was the executive director had very low emotional intelligence, but she couldn't see it. And from the perspective of the staff, the perspective of the manager, the executive director was pretty much, I see this a lot in companies, dictating what's going to happen, what needs to happen, how things are done, doing a little bit of micromanaging. I see this a lot in companies as well.
Mm-hmm.
So when that happens, it decreases morale. It decreases trust. If you don't trust me, I don't trust you, right? So you have to give what you want. So unfortunately, she didn't get the training. She didn't get the emotional intelligence. She just got the assessment that, hey, this is what needs to be done. She didn't get the coaching. And unfortunately, small organization, the bottom line, I came up with a conclusion that she should hire someone else as a manager to quarterback the organization because this gentleman, he had low emotional intelligence as well. Probably 3 months later, the emotional intelligence coaching would have probably cost maybe $2,000 or $3,000.
Mm-hmm.
She ended up losing her manager.
Wow.
She ended up having to hire a attorney to pay for it. In total, she ended up spending about $15,000. She lost about half of her board and 3 staff.
Wow.
From this situation, and again, this is a very small organization, so we're talking about maybe a revenue of $250,000. Well, no, I'm sorry, $500,000 year revenue for this organization. So you imagine what that would look like when you multiply it and look at a larger organization, not to mention a Fortune 500 company. And so, unfortunately, this was sometime last year. The company is still dealing with the effects of that, of those decisions or lack of decisions and low emotional intelligence. Wow. And so what happens is when we're not proactive about our relationships and emotional intelligence, then we're going to pay more in the end. It's very similar to fixing something on your house or fixing something in your car. If you don't take the time to be proactive and maintain your vehicle or your home or whatever it is, you're going to have more problems later on. And that's just how relationships are. That's just how business development, personal development is. You can either have pain now or regret later. And I always tell people that because it's really important to see what it looks like to be proactive. There's the Stephen Covey time management concept. We talked about it's in the book, Seventh Habits of Highly Effective People. It talks about Q2, which is being proactive and developing your skills when you don't need them. You know, getting things in place when you're not responding to everything. He calls it sharpening the saw.
Yeah.
So that's what this conversation is about. That's what retreats are about. That's what personal development is about. That's what the books are about. So you don't want to put yourself in a position where you are responding, right? That's in Q1, which is really putting out fires. If you're constantly putting out fires in your business or in your relationship, especially in your relationships, personal and professional, then you really need to focus on what's really happening in your relationships. Where is my emotional intelligence at? Where is my social intelligence at? And there are assessments, Marianne, that anyone, personally or professionally, can take online. I give them, but you can also find them if you just type in emotional intelligence or social intelligence assessments. Mm-hmm. Find out where your emotional intelligence is and be proactive about getting the tools that are necessary, getting coaching, developing those skills, because it's not just about making someone else happy or having a healthy relationship with someone else, but it's also about having a healthy relationship with yourself, because individuals that have higher emotional intelligence, they're happier. They're more effective at their job. They have better relationships. They have less stress. Less stress leads to better health. Better health leads to so many other things.
Yes, correct. Yeah, I totally agree with you. But that's an amazing story over there. And I really recommend the book he was mentioning, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Yes, it's an amazing book by Stephen Covey. And it's not really about business success per se. It's about personal success. So he laid out very amazing and very powerful skills that we need to develop. And I was actually going to mention it earlier when you were saying when you were mentioning the techniques we can use from the five of them. You were saying we need to understand people. Try to understand people. So he said try to understand first. So I try to understand
then try to
first.
Be understand. Yeah.
Yeah, then trying to be understand. Yeah. So that's one of the skills he was mentioning as well. It's a very amazing book. Thank you for bringing that up. I really wanted to talk about it earlier.
Yeah, so you shifted the energy to me and I just talked about it. That's what happened.
Even better.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so thank you so much. This has been very amazing. Now, tell us how people can reach you if they want to. I know you don't work really with one-to-one, but you do sometimes. So if
people
want to reach you, how can they reach you? And tell us what you do, what you can provide. And, yeah, let our hearers know how they can reach you.
Sure. So the listeners can definitely go to my website. That's www.therelationshipengineer.com. So that's therelationshipengineer.com, or they can type it into Google. Mm-hmm. And my website will come up. They can definitely email me at cj@therelationshipengineer. So that's cj@therelationshipengineer. And, of course, I'm on all of the social media sites as well. And, again, you can just type in, you can Google it. So if a person is interested in coaching individual, there's an assessment that I use. It's certified through the Institute for Emotional Intelligence, which measures 26 different competencies in emotional and social intelligence. which I give to clients as well as managers. So that's one part, as well as if you have a small group and you want me to come in and do a presentation and talk about some hacks for emotional and social intelligence, having better relationships, as well as being more effective in the company organization, I'm always available for group training as well as workshops. And, of course, I work with people from all over the country as well as international. So I'm also a national speaker as well. So always available for speaking engagements, keynote speaking engagements as well.
Perfect. Thank you so much, CJ, for being here and for talking to us today about the social intelligence, emotional intelligence. I have learned a lot, and I really enjoyed our conversation. Hope our listeners have learned a lot as well. Thank you so much for being here and taking the time to discuss this with us.
No problem, Marian. No problem at all. I really appreciate you having me on. I think it's very, very important as we move forward in this millennial, that we really start to focus on emotional intelligence and how it applies to us and actually start to work on our relationships. So, again, thank you for having me on. I look forward to hearing more of your podcast and hearing what other presenters have to say in the future.
Perfect. Well, you have a beautiful rest of your day. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for joining in, my beautiful listeners, as well. You are listening to How Do You See It? With me, Maryam Alamu, and Chris Gross here, where we're talking about social intelligence, emotional intelligence. Let me know what you think. If you have any questions for him as well, I'll put every information, his website and his email address on this show, and you can reach him directly. Thank you so much for tuning in. You are listening to How Do You See It?